Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, earlier this year, the government's free hot meal scheme was extended to cover 1,400 schools, with the Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, pledging to extend it to every primary school in the country. But concerns have been raised by teachers about the nutritional value of some of the food on offer, and questions remain about who exactly is responsible for monitoring standards of what is served to children. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now in the studio by Professor Donal O'Shea, who's consultant endocrinologist and HSC lead on obesity. You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Lovely to have you
with us. In principle, do you think it's a good idea that the state provides hot meals to children in school?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think anyone would debate the principle of it. I think when I first heard the announcement, my initial thought on the second was, God, I've gone to a lot of primary schools, to give talks and then into the staff rooms after. Space is a big issue for something like this. So the teachers struggle at lunch break themselves to use the microwave and get a cup of tea. So how are they going to provide hot meals for all of the students at a practical level? So it's going to be challenging. Then I thought, how do schools measure up to effectively restaurant standards of safety when they already have so much on their plate in the educational sphere? So the principle is good, but the practicalities make it messy.
And yeah, because a lot of schools, they're not cooking. The food is arriving prepped in hot boxes.
Yeah, and ordered in advance from a menu that includes ultra-processed foods, includes healthy options. But if you allow a choice, open choice, to the human brain between a healthy option and an ultra-processed option, then the human brain leans towards the ultra-processed, mm-hmm. the addictive. A child, we know that people consume ultra-processed food more quickly, so the child who chooses the healthier option is going to be slower consuming that, and the other kids will be up and off. And this is what teachers are seeing, that the healthier options are being eaten less, and there's more waste than the ultra-processed, which are hoovered
up.
And the kids are off out playing again.
Well, listen, we're going to talk about this, about the standards and who's in charge of monitoring it, because some schools are not offering the ultra-processed foods. Many of them are, we know. It just depends on where you are and who is supplying the food. And that is the problem, isn't it? It's with the standards and who's in charge of the standards.
Yes, and the Department of Integration are saying it's not their responsibility to monitor that there are standards there. Mm-hmm. There are nutrition standards for schools.
Nutritional guidelines.
Yeah, nutritional guidelines that have been developed and approved within the HSE and Department of Health. But those guidelines have to be monitored. I don't like the word enforced or police, but they have to be monitored. And for a scheme like this, there should be zero option for the ultra-processed, with the emerging evidence that ultra-processed foods are being overproduced, overmarketed. The idea that they would enter into a scheme like this is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And I think a scheme like this probably should be initially targeted at the areas of deprivation. And it is going to be messy, a scheme like this, at the start. So address the messy bits before you expand. But to widely expand a scheme when it's still at a very messy phase in terms of the nutritional offerings and in terms of who's actually watching out for it and monitoring for it, is just widening out an mm-hmm. already messy situation.
Well, look, just looking at the guidelines from the Department of Social Protection, it says processed meat or chicken products, fried foods, foods cooked in batter or breadcrumbs, or food containing pastry should only be provided once a week maximum, if at all. Now, that's the guideline that's going to the school. But my understanding is it's up to the school then to monitor that and to police that.
I think you have to put a structure in place to monitor that. You can't just say to the school principal, to the teachers, your job now is to watch what's coming in. I think it needs, in any of these initiatives, you need to go to procurement. You need to tell the suppliers that there is, if you're allowing it once a week, I prefer the if at all for a government-funded scheme.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you include what is clearly an unhealthy offering opens the door. We know that menus are having that offering, those offerings, the ultra-processed offerings on it, and they're being chosen more often, and nobody is monitoring it. And I don't think you can ask the school system without putting in a specific person to do that.
Mm-hmm. The Department of Social Protection does say it monitors adherence to the standards, including through site visits. I don't know how regular they are, but ultimately the department has said that the schools, it will be the responsibility of the school to ensure the food being served to the children is in line with the guidelines. That's the response they told RTE News. So really, it's going to be up to the school principal or whoever is in charge of administering the programme in the school to watch what's coming in.
But, you know, that is feeding hundreds of children a day in some schools. We have some schools that are very small, but you can't just say monitor it and that's your responsibility
mm-hmm.
without carrying out a needs assessment of what is required to monitor it, because that person will have to have nutrition knowledge, will have to be able to deal with the suppliers, will have to have a daily track of what's coming in. That's a full-time job in a school. I mean, running your home to keep an eye on the main meals during the week takes up a significant amount of time. So to do it for the whole school population, so it's a big ask.
Tell me what you think needs to happen, because like you've said there, we are in the early stages of this. It's probably bound to be, you know, issues with it, and there's time to get it right before it's rolled out to every school. So before it gets to the next stage, what needs to happen?
Yeah, so it's a good ambitious goal to have. I think a measure like this should be targeted to the more disadvantaged areas, and I don't think it should be expanded beyond that until all the teething problems have been sorted. So how do you monitor it in the school setting? Find out how much time it takes an individual, because the teachers are stretched with all aspects of the curriculum they have to deliver. So I would, rather than say we're widening now to another 900 schools, I would say we'll keep it where it is, and we will, over the next 12 to 18 months, assess exactly what is required to deal effectively with the suppliers and make a decision about, is it any ultra-processed offerings or nutritious only? The school has to be able to deal with the food waste that accumulates from that on a daily basis.
The food waste comes home. It's sent home in most cases, because they're given a plastic container, a lunchbox, which is reusable, and the food waste comes home to the house.
Okay. And how much of that gets home?
Well, look, I mean, I don't know, but that's how it is being dealt with. So the school doesn't have to deal with the food waste. But it has been raised on this programme as well that there is significant waste involved, that the children aren't eating it, which is also an issue. And some schools, some suppliers are not reducing the portion size for the smaller children. Mm-hmm. Some are, of course. But again, this goes back to a lack of uniformity.
Yeah, and I certainly know from the Food Dudes programme that promotes fruit and veg consumption, there was a significant amount of food waste again going home, a very positive programme for increasing fruit and veg consumption. But it's those kind of programmes that will impact on obesity, the Food Dude programme. It's programmes that educate in cooking skills that will impact on obesity. A programme that provides nutrition is not going to impact on obesity. So this isn't an obesity initiative. It's a nutrition initiative that, the way it's panning out, has the potential to drive obesity, because from what we're seeing in the early stages is there is too much access to the ultra-processed meals through this scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not being monitored.
Another conversation we had on this programme was about the rollout. So all DESH schools now have access to it at primary level, but it's being expanded beyond that now. So primary schools can apply to use the scheme, whether they're DESH or not. And we had a principal of a secondary school saying it should be rolled out to DESH schools, disadvantaged secondary schools, before all primary schools in all areas get access to it. Would you be in favour of that?
Yeah, we have 250,000 children who live in poverty in this country. We have 1 million children in this country or over. So I absolutely think this needs to be targeted to the children who are living in poverty, and the DESH schools will capture more of those.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be looked at primary and secondary school level. And if when this moves into the secondary school level, it doesn't attempt to innovate and involve the students in the food preparation,
mm-hmm.
involve the students who are in their transition year in a very active way, then we're missing a chance to educate our young people in cooking skills. And, you know, cooking skills are a skill that are being lost.
Have you been asked officially for your view on this scheme as HSE obesity lead?
No, because it's very little. With most of my meetings are in the Department of Health. So when I heard of this scheme, I heard of it on the news for the first time, and I was going, that's going to be a problem.
Okay, but you still haven't been asked for your view on it?
No.
Okay, well, you've been asked here, so hopefully people will take note. Donal, thanks very much for coming in. That's Professor Donal O'Shea. Sinead Moriarty, author, will be here to tell us about her latest novel, Good Sisters. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.